I'd like to end with this passage and bring a short challenge with that. This was actually taken in southern Iowa. They let me drive the combine. It was a lot of fun. Had a lot of fun. He did have nice straight rows. You can see kind of how straight that was. And after I did it, I put a slight curve in it just because. But it reminds me of this verse. I mean, if you're from a state that has a lot of crop ground and stuff like this, and Pastor touched on this verse briefly this morning as well, but Matthew 9, 37 through 38, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. If you'd like to, please turn in. You can turn there, or we'll end up back there, or you can use it on the screen, or turn to, let's start with 2 Timothy 2:2. I better get up here too. This request, I don't know if you guys glaze over it, but it's a very true statement. The harvest field is great. There's tons of people out there that need the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you go in the cities, and I go all over this country, more and more, you just see the need that people need a Savior. And the statement is also true as you look, but the laborers are few. And as back at the home office and for the board meetings and talking to some of the guys in the office and talking to one of our guys that takes the phone calls, that directs our church, that people have needs and he's in charge of our church planters. And he says, we need more laborers. We need more laborers as builders too. Our numbers are way down compared to where we used to be. And we're just talking about things, and he says, yeah, there's churches that's called him recently within the last 2 years. And this isn't an exclusive list, but there's churches in Rhode Island, Maine, New York. Recently, he had one in Grand Forks, North Dakota, on two different occasions. Of guys moving out there, and he goes, hey, is there any churches out here? Can you send somebody? There's not a Bible preaching church here. Do you have anybody you can send? And unfortunately, we have to say no. All of our planters, all of our are tied up doing other places, other work. And it's one of the hardest answers you have. And then you go back to the scriptures and say, well, what does the scripture say about this? As you pray about it as a mission, as a church. And we come to these verses of Matthew 9, 37 through 38. And the Lord, he asks us to pray. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. But then he's asked, is there anything else that the Lord, that we should be doing besides praying? As we study the scriptures, I think there is more things we can do. The first thing we need to do, though, and not to forget, is to pray. Pray to the Lord. We need to start there. But as you go to 2 Timothy 2:2, this is Paul's letter, of course. He's towards the end of his mark. Could be his last letter. He's in prison. And he's communicating to Timothy. Pouring his heart out to Timothy. And I'll start in verse 1 and just read 1 and 2. It says, you therefore, my son, be strong in grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Verse 2, just as you ponder that and think about it and dwell on it, Paul knows he's at the end. And he says, we need to commit these things that the Lord has taught Paul. He's the apostles. That's one thing he does. First missionaries, he's setting up churches. And towards the end, and probably this is in the record, I'm guessing he's done this all the way through. He's committing these things that he's taught to faithful men. Faithful men, in other words, that the thing that they have been taught to teach these things, and they're making disciples. We need to be making disciples of the things taught through scriptures to faithful men, people that can uphold. Now, what's a good example of a faithful man? as they pondered this and going through the scriptures, turn with me to Acts chapter 11. Starting in probably verse 19. Acts 11, verse 19. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he had came and seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them, all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Verse 22, it says, the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. I think it's an important word there. Who is Barnabas? We first see him in the first part of Acts. He was one of the guys that was first believed and came to the disciples' feet because he sold land and gave the money to the church of Jerusalem. That's the first appearance that I found. Maybe you found somewhere different. If so, let me know. I'd appreciate that. But that's the first reference that I could tell about Barnabas. And then after that, we see his reputation here. And that he was full of the Holy Spirit, a good man. Full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And he was the one that befriended Paul. He came alongside Paul. Nobody trusted Paul when he first got saved. Why? It's a pretty heavy reputation he had going for him. I mean, it's the perfect trap, right? So, yeah, I'm with you guys. And not really. Take him in and take him to jail. Whatever it took. But Barnabas befriended Paul, came alongside him, right beside him, showed him into the church, showed him with the people. And then after that, in this passage, he went and got Paul and said, hey, we're needed, and brought him to Antioch, and they both worked and labored in Antioch for 1 year. But the one thing I want you guys to realize is as these important things that Paul was talking about in Timothy, that we need to disciple, that's what they were doing in Antioch. How did they know? News traveled to Jerusalem. I'm assuming Barnabas was very active in his home church. He's full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, a vital member to that church. But when they heard the news, they sent him out. They just didn't send out someone. It's like, oh, man, we love Barnabas. He's one of our best guys. Don't send Barnabas. Leave him. We need him here. Send this guy. This will help him grow up or, you know, get going and grow in the Lord. No. They sent Barnabas. He was full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. He had the reputation of being a godly man. One of their best. Now think about this. This isn't in the scriptures, but think of that for just a second. He was gone from that point on, and it probably wasn't after that that him and Paul were sent out to do full-time ministry work. People loved Barnabas. He's very active. That's a hard thing to do. Now, is there something more that we can do besides pray? That was the original question. I think there is. I think we need to start with prayer and pray for the laborers. But at times, I think in our minds, as we pray that, we start by saying, Lord, send someone. Our prayer is distant. I know everybody here. I know what they want to do. We're very comfortable here. We love everybody in our congregation. And we pray and say, Lord, somewhere over another church, in our thoughts, we never do we turn it inwardly. I want to challenge you tonight, as we pray and disciple, we need to be discipling our own church people, and I think that's happening here. You're getting fed well, you're getting discipled, you're getting trained. And as we pray to send people out, are we looking within? When Jerusalem got word, they sent out. And we have a passage here that says, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. As you're growing in the Lord, as he's developing you, as a church, are you praying for people to be sent out? Not somewhere else, right here. Because I can tell you now, the need is true. If you go to John, not the same context as this, John chapter 4. The Lord Jesus just got done talking to a Samaritan woman. It has amazing results. This Samaritan woman gets saved, finally recognizes she's a sinner, she needs a Savior. What does she do right away? She beelines it right back into town. Invites the whole town. And they're all coming toward Jesus. At this time, disciples, and I think this is a magic moment for God to teach his disciples. And you can see the camel, here's some food. I already have my food. Can you imagine the disciples saying, where'd he get the food? Did you give him food? Did you give him food? You could almost hear it in the context. But it's the spiritual food that he was talking about. And he makes the same phrase. Is it yet 4 months until harvest? For the harvest is right here, white and ready to be harvested. And they reach that whole town with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The harvest is ready. The Lord's going to bring it. But first we need to what? Pray to the Lord for the harvest. But are we just praying and saying, Lord, send somebody? I don't think that's the intent. I think it's just like when in Jerusalem, out, said, whoa, a lot of people just got saved over in Antioch. They need help. Barnabas, you go. Barnabas went. They sent out their best. And what did he do? He made disciples. He taught them. He trained them. Where are you guys at? Are you praying? I want to challenge you to pray within your church. And as the Lord brings someone to your mind, I want you to pray that the Lord would send them out, that he would prepare them, and that you disciple them as a church. Because mission agencies don't send out missionaries. I hope you guys recognize that. A lot of times there's a lot of accountability. With Continental Baptist Missions, I am sent out by my home church. At the time I was sent out, we were the first ones. After we left to go take on missions, five other people were sent out of our church. One was my youth pastor. Shortly after we left, God called him back into missions down to Bolivia, South America. Another one was sent to Africa. And then my brother was also sent out with Continental Baptist Missions. And I know people were praying. Are we praying that God would send forth laborers, specifically by name in your church, just as they did in Jerusalem? Let's end with a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, thank you for the passion you set before me and even the challenge of this message. It reflects back to my calling. And yet we need to continue to pray. Lord, we don't know when you're coming back, but we do know that you say the harvest is ready. Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to pray. Help us to disciple. But Lord, help us not to just stop there. Lord, help us to send out and pray that you would use these people that you are working in and to reach the harvest. Help us to be faithful in that. And Lord, help us to continue to be sensitive to your leading and your guidance as we do this. And help us to be effective in ministry. We thank you so much for your words. In Jesus' name, amen.